I want to talk to you today about the blessing. Anybody interested? Anybody need a little? I'll take some. Matter of fact, I'm going to beat you to the line. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, the blessing. Listen to this. Now people were bringing little children to him for him to touch him. But the disciples scolded those who brought them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. That means Jesus was mad, which makes me feel better because I've been mad a time or two. Christian-wise, you know, there's a Christian mad, and then there's a bad mad. Well, sometimes I've been bad mad too. You ever been there? Jesus was indignant and said unto them, Let the little children come to me and do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And after he took the children in his arms, he placed his hands on them and blessed them. Aren't you glad to be a child of God? We're all little children who need the blessing of Jesus. And he's faithful to do that. Lord, in the next few moments, speak to our hearts and our lives. Help us to receive. Help us to understand and comprehend what you want to do inside of us. Thank you for this day. I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you for those listening online, Lord. And I pray your blessing fall in this house and where they are. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You see here, people are bringing little children to Jesus. I just love that. You know, I don't know about you, but there's one thing a parent always wants. They want it better for their children. They want it better for their children. Now, when you think about where we've come, you know, the average age back in Jesus' day was like 50 years old or less. So when parents were bringing their children to Jesus to be blessed, they were desperate. They wanted something special for their children. I love when parents take the initiative to see that their children are blessed. And I think God loves that as well. We want to bless our children. And then when grandchildren come along, amen, bless them, Lord. Doubly bless them. Amen. There's something about wanting to see your future extended and God's hand on the future through your children. And that's what these parents are wanting. They wanted Jesus to touch them. The implication is that the parents wanted future blessings for their children. I'll take some. I'll take some future blessings. Listen, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. God has blessed me in ways I can't imagine. But listen, I don't ever want him to stop the blessings from coming. And I'm going to tell you, he wants to bless us for the future. For the future. Don't think that now is all there is. Because what God wants to bless you with now is something to prepare for future blessings. And if you miss this blessing, you know, it takes a little while to get ramped up and start for the next blessing. So don't miss the blessing God wants to do in your life. The disciples had a problem. I mean, you know, Jesus is always correcting them. And this time he's very indignant of them. Because why? Parents are taking the initiative to bring their little children, their innocent children, to Jesus to bless him. And the disciples don't want to be bothered. They don't want to be bothered. And the other thing about it is this. I think the disciples are abusing their authority, trying to keep children away from Jesus. How many know Jesus came to set the captive free? Well, there's no reason why we should try to keep people from Jesus. We ought to fling the doors wide open and make sure people have access to Jesus. Amen? So here they are abusing their authority. They have a lack of insight to the kingdom principles of Jesus. They thought and displayed that the children were not important, but everybody's important to Jesus. From the least to the greatest, they all hold a priority in the heart of God. Help me to treat people like that, Lord. Amen? Like Jesus would. And when Jesus saw this activity of the disciples, he gets a little mad. He's indignant. That means he's impatient with them because they should have been a little further along in the line of education in relationship to the principles of the kingdom, and they're slow to learn. Hard-headed. I qualify. We're a little slow sometimes. And I'm sure there's been some times in my life when God was a little frustrated. But he never gives up. He didn't give up on the disciples. He was a little impatient because they should have been a little... He was a little irritated. You ever been irritated with anybody? You ever been irritated with anybody you love? Oh, that's okay. We need that refinement. Linda and I were talking last night. You know, we were talking about going to heaven, going to be in heaven. And the sad thing for me in relationship to heaven is there's no marriage in heaven. You do understand that. Now, I don't understand God's plan or perplexity because, you know, Linda and I have been married a while and we're kind of getting used to each other. And all of a sudden we get in heaven, you know, 20 or 30 years down the road, and now... After all that time of her getting used to me and me getting used to her, heaven's, now I wonder what God has in store for us. See, I think part of marriage is to refine us for heaven. That's why my wife has irritated me a little bit. And that's why I've irritated her a whole lot. Because we're all getting prepared for heaven. And that's what Jesus is trying to do it. And here's the principle that God lays to them. Do not forbid these children to come unto me. Don't do it. Don't forbid it. You know, earlier when these people were trying to cast out demons in his name, Jesus was mad at the disciples again. In chapter 9 and verse 39, Jesus said, do not stop him, don't forbid him, because no one who does a miracle in my name will be able soon after to say anything bad about me. Some guy's trying to do a miracle in Jesus' name, the disciples want to stop him, and Jesus says, don't forbid it. Here it is again, the children are brought to Jesus, and he's saying, I'll get it in a minute. And what? Don't forbid it. Don't forbid it. Can I tell you, when people need to be blessed by God, let them come to Jesus. Don't forbid them to come to him. Jesus. And here's the rules Jesus lays down. Let the children come unto me, and do not try to stop them. Do you hear the heart of Jesus? He always has time for children. Don't you just love that? He always has time for Jesus. You know what that means? There's a place for you. There's a place for me. Because the reality is, we're all children. No matter how old you are, you're just a child in the heart of God. You're one of his children. Jesus says this, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. There's something powerful about that because most are worried about the conditions of how to get to heaven And the little babies, the ones being brought to Jesus, they're not worried about the condition. They just need his blessing. You know, we try to make rules to get to the kingdom, and we say, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that, you got to do all this and this. And Jesus says, just let me bless you. Don't try to make obstacles. Because this is what I know. This is what I believe. The church in its systems would not have blessed the Apostle Paul. He was murdering them. He was not showing up on Sunday morning to bless. He was not showing up on Sunday morning to pay his tithes. He was not showing up money on Sunday mornings to do things. No, he was persecuting the church. But nevertheless, the Lord, in his great mercy, rescued him from his darkness. Aren't you glad God rescued you too? Amen. It wasn't because of your works of righteousness. It was because of his mercy on you. And that's what these children tell us. We want to do the list. And Jesus just says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what he's in. We're good at making lists for ourselves and making lists for others. And this little child that comes to Jesus helpless. He's probably brought there in the arms of his mom or his dad. He probably didn't even walk very little on his own. He just was helpless. And yet Jesus blessed him. Can I tell you, we are all helpless when it comes to eternity. We need his blessing. We are like children. There's nothing like being around little children. They're so trusting. They believe anything. That's almost scary. But they will. You can trust the Father who is in heaven. They're humble. You know, they don't have to figure out something before they do it. You know, there's a lot of adults, you know, well, I got to see how it works. I got to make sure it's planned out right. I got to make sure there's an end date. I got to make sure there's all that. Kids, just enjoy the moment. Some of us would be better just enjoying the moment. Try to figure it all out. Can I tell you what Jesus said? Don't worry about tomorrow. There's enough stuff today to worry about. Don't heap tomorrow's worries on today. How many know we're good at that? And the kingdom of God is about being a child. That's trusting God. That's walking in humility and enjoying the moment that is before you. Don't be a complainer. Be a participant in what God is doing in your lives. Here's what I know. And one of the ladies at our staff meeting the other day said, you know, the thing about children is this. When they're hurt, they know who to run to. Don't you just love that? I mean, they're running to mama or daddy. They know who to run to. You and I ought to know who to run to. Aren't you glad he's a refuge? Huh? We have a refuge in Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, it says this. So that we have found refuge in him, may find strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us through two unchangeable things. Since it is impossible for God to lie, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul, sure, steadfast, which reaches inside behind the curtain where Jesus, our forerunner, entered on our behalf, since he became a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. What does that mean, Pastor Larry, in the order of Melchizedek? Here it is. Melchizedek shows up, and Abraham had just went and conquered some people who had stole his property and stole his family, and he went and conquered him. He came, brought all the proceeds back, and he honors Melchizedek with his tithe, with his blessing. Now, in Scripture, Melchizedek had no beginning. Melchizedek had no ending. And therefore, he represents Jesus to the writer of Hebrews after the order of Melchizedek. Why? Because one greater than Melchizedek came. His name is Jesus. He was before and he has no ending. And we can have a sure confidence that he's our refuge in time of trouble. That is beautiful. Psalm 46 verses 1 through 3 says this: God is our strong refuge. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. For this reason, we do not fear. When the earth shakes and the mountains tremble, into the depths of the sea, when the waves crash and foam and the mountains shake before the surging seas, we don't fear because we have a refuge. His name is Jesus. And the kingdom belongs to those who know who to run to. Who to run to. The kingdom belongs to the unimportant. I don't know about you. I just haven't seen your name in the New York Times lately. Matter of fact, you didn't even make the Person of the Year in Time magazine. Oh, glory to God. You see, the kingdom of God is for children who are unimportant, seem to be insignificant in relationship to the world. But God sent forth his Son for the helpless and insignificant. Why? Because you mean something to heaven. Hallelujah. Yes. The writer of Hebrews says this about the people of faith: the world was not worthy of them. And some of us are trying to make the world too happy. The world's not going to be happy with you. And what's happening in the world right now, God is making it evident that they don't like you because you believe his word. They don't like you because you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. They don't like you because you dare to believe there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. You are insignificant to the world, but you mean something to the God who spoke it all into existence. That means he's willing to part waters for his children. That means he's ready to rain down manna to make sure you're taken care of. That means he knows how to be a very present help in the time of trouble. Whatever that is. You see, the world has it backwards. The worldly would say that the righteous are unworthy to live in this world. Matter of fact, there was a post in the Washington Post the other day that said Christians should not hold public office. We need some Christians to rise up in government. We're not going to let the world intimidate us. Hallelujah. If there's anything, we need some kingdom principles at work in government. Amen. Here's the other thing that children do is they just receive the kingdom as a gift. They just receive the kingdom as a gift. I love that. Jesus said this: I tell you the truth, who does not receive the kingdom like a child will never enter it. The kingdom of God is to be received. That means you make a choice about whether you're going to be a child of God or not. You make the choice. And with a child, you can make a gift out of anything. I don't know about you, but I made a paper airplane that could only fly a couple of rounds, and it was amazing to little kids. They can make a gift of anything. I know one of the spit wads can be a gift to kids. Get you in trouble a little bit, but they can be a gift. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. We need to cherish the kingdom of God, the gift that it is to us, because it transcends every day. It transcends our history and prepares for our future. Oh, what a hope in this gift. Glory to God. The child is helpless and small, and God helps the helpless. Glory to God. Children have no claim on anything, you know. They're not going to grab your car keys. They have no claim on anything. And you know what? Don't hold to the things of this world too tightly, because it's all passing away. You know, the Lord has allowed me the privilege to own a few things. But listen, I don't own it. It belongs to Him. Do you understand that? I'm just the steward over it. I'm the caretaker of what He has blessed me with. Because I know this, I'm not holding it long. Because heaven's coming. Jesus says this, and after He took the children in His arms, He placed His hand on them and blessed him. I don't know about you, but there's something in my heart. God, lay your hand on me. Lay your hand on me. I'm still a child. Lay your hand on me, Lord. I know you've done it before. I know you've done that in the past. Do it again, God. Do it again. Matter of fact, Lord, in 2020, I could use a little hand touch of your blessing, God, in my life, in our life together. And then Jesus took the children in his arms. Don't you just love that? That he made time for them to be with him in his embrace, in his care. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I love the way Jesus is tender with the children. He's just tender with them. And I know there have been times in my own life when he's been tender with me. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been times when he did a stern correction. But when my heart was broken, when my heart needed healing, his tender touch brought me in his arms and brought me somewhere I could never be in and of myself. God's touch of blessing. Here's the other thing about you. Children don't come with any claim of importance. You know us adults, you know, I deserve to be blessed. No, you don't. Children don't come with that attitude. You know, children don't come in, you owe me this. Be careful. Children don't come that way. Children don't come, look at all the gifts I bring. No. He must increase and we must decrease. You know, the other thing I love about children is they're captivated by the moment. You can put them in a sandbox. You can throw them in the lake. They're captivated by, you don't believe me. You just catch them in the midst of whatever they're doing and then invite them to, it's time to eat. They could care less about the dinner table because they're captivated in the moment. You know what? You and I need to be captivated in the moment of his love, so that we can experience his blessing afresh and anew. Because I don't know about you, but I'm worried about the dinner table way too much. No, I'm not talking about the physical. Well, even though it may be. I'm not talking about the physical. I'm talking about tomorrow, and I'm talking about the future, and I'm talking about the things that's got to be put in order. You know, I can't enjoy the moment. God, help me to be a child again. To just be enveloped in the moment of your care, of your love. I know this. I believe with all my heart the parents and the children were enthralled with the embrace of Jesus over their lives. I know this. Jesus specializes in blessing his children. Most likely he is laying hands on the children and praying for them. The blessing of the kingdoms are freely given. You know, there's something else about children that's almost beautiful. They're not afraid to say, I love you. I love you, Grandpa. I love you. Now us big folk, we have a little trouble saying, I love you. I love you. And every now and then I love messing people up. I'll get this burly guy on the phone, and we've known him a long time and whatever, and I'll say, hey, I love you. You can feel it on the other end of the phone. Why? Because we don't. Make me a child again, Lord. I love you. I love you. Children are not afraid to say, I love you, Jesus. Hey, can you just stand with me right now? And I want you to sing this little song. I think you've heard it before. And I want you to be his child one more time.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Aren't you thankful for that love today? Thank you, Lord, for loving me. But Lord, I want you to... I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you're going through a lot of stuff. It's not pleasant. It's hard. And you need God to help you. I'm going to ask you to make God your refuge, the place you run to when you're hurt. And we're going to sing this one more time. I want you to just come and stand before the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. I need your touch today. And if you need the analogy, you're just going to be like one of them children whose parents brought them to Jesus. He just embraced them. And you just crawl up in the lap of your father and let him embrace you and give you hope for tomorrow. Maybe you need that. Maybe you're here today and you've gone through an awful lot and you just need to know he's going to bless you. You need his blessing on your life. Just come as we sing this one more time. Just come.